So we're looking at the sources for today, and the very first thing that jumps out is this massive shift in how people are looking for information.
Right. It's a completely startling observation when you really dig into the data because search behavior has officially split in two.
Split in two. What exactly does that mean for the average person?
Well, people definitely still Google things. I mean, that hasn't disappeared, but a massive chunk of discovery right now happens inside AI interfaces that synthesize answers instead of just giving you a list of links.
Which is incredibly convenient for the user, but
Exactly, but it completely breaks the traditional marketing calendar.
because you aren't clicking on anything.
Right. It is no longer about keywords. It is entirely about earning citations.
Welcome to the Content Ship Podcast. This is a show about how content actually works today, not how it used to work. We talk about search, AI systems, and the operational side of producing content that survives change.
And it is definitely changing faster than ever.
This podcast is created by people who care deeply about their craft,
Yeah.
working intentionally with AI,
Uh-huh.
not to replace human judgment, but to extend it. That mindset is exactly why we build Content Ship, to give a single expert inside a company the kind of leverage and structure that used to require an entire team.
And by the end of this deep dive today, we are going to walk you through a very specific marketing planner template that changes the whole focus from getting traffic to actually being selected.
Which includes that one specific column that most teams are completely missing, right?
Yes, the one that is literally killing their visibility right now.
Okay, so let's dive right into this paradigm shift. You mentioned the goal of the planner is no longer rankings and traffic.
Yeah, that was classic SEO. That's how we all learned to do this.
Right, you find a keyword, you try to rank number one, and you get the traffic.
But in 2026, the goal is being selected as a source.
I need to play devil's advocate here for a second. Because if I'm a marketing manager and I hear being selected as a source, I'm thinking, well, why does that matter if they don't actually click through to my website?
That is the exact question every CFO is asking right now.
I mean, how do you monetize a citation if they don't land on your pricing page?
You have to unpack the zero-click reality. AI systems like ChatGPT or Perplexity or Google's AI Overviews, they often just answer the full question right there in the interface.
Right. So the user has no incentive to click.
None. But you are competing to be referenced because being that cited source in an AI Overview buys you long-term distribution.
It compounds brand trust.
Exactly. It compounds trust even without the immediate click. If an AI tells a user three times a week that your company is the standard for a specific solution, that user remembers you when it is time to buy.
So it's almost like a new form of digital PR or brand awareness, but highly targeted.
Highly targeted and fundamentally necessary. And this isn't just theoretical. We have hard data on this now.
Yeah, let's talk about the data because that's where this gets really real.
If you look at the Semrush AI Overviews study back in 2025, AI Overviews appeared on about 16% of U.S. desktop searches.
16%.
Yeah.
I can hear people listening to this right now thinking, well, 16% is a minority. It's not the majority of my traffic.
It sounds like a minority, sure, but you have to look at the trend line, not just the exact percentage.
Because it's growing.
It's growing rapidly, and that 16% completely changes the definition of good coverage for so many industries. It's usually the high-intent, complex queries that get the AI overviews.
The ones where people are actually doing research to make a purchase.
Right. And there is a massive quality argument here, too. The MarTech data, which was also citing Semrush, showed that the average LLM visitor,
The person who actually does click the citation link.
exactly, the person who clicks through the AI, they're worth 4.4 times an organic search visitor.
4.4 times. That is a staggering difference in value.
It's massive. And it happens because AI-driven visitors arrive already educated.
Because the AI summarized the basics for them.
Right. They are closer to a decision. AI-assisted discovery compresses the marketing funnel.
So they aren't just browsing anymore. They read the AI summary, they saw you were the cited expert, and they clicked through to get the advanced details.
They are highly qualified by the time they hit your site.
So what is the implication here for the person actually building the marketing calendar? Because it sounds like you don't win by just pumping out more and more pages anymore.
You definitely do not. Volume is a losing game now. You win by producing pages that are easy to pick, easy to quote, and worth reusing.
Easy to pick, easy to quote. I love that framing. So let's move into the how. If the goal is to be easy to pick, what does that actually look like mechanically?
It breaks down into four specific pillars.
Okay, let's go through them.
Access, structure, evidence, and recency.
Let's start with access. This sounds technical.
It is the most basic failure mode out there. The question is simply, is the content actually reachable by the AI?
You mean, is the website up?
No, I mean, is the AI allowed to look at it? So many teams accidentally block AI crawlers.
Oh, because they're afraid of having their data scraped.
Exactly. They put up paywalls, or they have terrible site structure, or their IT department explicitly blocks the bots in the robots.txt file.
So marketing is spending thousands of dollars on content, and IT has a line of code blocking ChatGPT from ever seeing it.
It happens all the time. You have to check Google's robots.txt specifications. That is the baseline for the access layer.
What specifically should people be looking for?
You need to understand how specific bots appear in user agents. Look at OpenAI's documentation on GPT-Bot. If you are blocking GPT-Bot, you are completely invisible to ChatGPT.
Wow, so if a page is blocked or even just miscanonicalized, no amount of brilliant writing is going to save it.
None. It is a hard gate. If you don't pass pillar one, the other three pillars do not matter.
Okay, assuming our IT team hasn't locked us out of the future, let's talk about pillar two, structure, surviving extraction.
Surviving extraction is the perfect way to phrase it.
Does this mean we have to start writing for robots? Because marketers hate that idea. We want to write for humans.
It doesn't mean writing robotic text, but it does mean you have to understand extraction logic. AI does not read your article end to end like a human does.
Right. It's not sitting down with a cup of coffee to read your whole narrative.
It extracts chunks. So you have to use what we call the answer first method.
How does that work in practice?
First, your headings need to match real questions. Not clever, punny titles. Real questions people ask.
Like, how much does enterprise CRM software cost instead of the price of doing business?
Yes, exactly. And then the most crucial part, the answer to that heading must be in the first 1 to 3 sentences immediately following it.
The first 1 to 3 sentences. That is a huge shift from classic content marketing where you have these long, meandering introductions before you finally get to the point.
The old recipe blog problem.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to read a 500-word story about autumn leaves before finding out how long to bake the cookies.
Right, and the AI definitely doesn't want to read that.
The AI will just skip it. If the first paragraph isn't quotable on its own, you fail the extraction test.
It's almost like a journalistic inverted pyramid, but even stricter.
Exactly. You give the hard answer immediately, and then you can add all the human context and storytelling underneath it.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Give them the synthesis up front. Let's move to pillar three, evidence. You call this anti-hallucination?
Yes. AI models have a known problem with hallucinating, right? Making things up.
Right. They just predict the next most likely word, so sometimes they sound confident or being completely wrong.
To combat that, the systems are programmed to look for hard evidence. They completely ignore vague claims.
Give me an example of a vague claim.
Something like, many teams struggle with alignment, or it's best practice to optimize your workflow.
The kind of fluff that fills up B2B blogs everywhere.
Right. AI can generate that fluff itself. It doesn't need to cite you for that.
So what does it need to cite you for?
Things that are hard to hallucinate and easy to attribute. Specific statistics with reputable sources. Named frameworks. Concrete constraints like specific thresholds or time windows.
So instead of saying, it saves a lot of time.
Uh-huh.
You need to say it reduces reporting time by 4.2 hours a week, according to a 2026 survey.
Precisely. The rule you have to adopt is that every single planned page needs slots for at least 2 sourced data points.
If you don't have the data, don't write the page.
Basically, yes.
That brings us to pillar 4, recency, freshness as a feature.
In AI interfaces, recent often beats perfect.
That's interesting. I think a lot of people assume AI just knows everything universally, but it's really looking for the most current state of things.
Yes. The big problem is that marketing teams usually only update a post when the traffic drops.
Right. You do a quarterly audit, you see a page is slipping, and you go back to fix it.
But by the time the traffic drops, you've already lost your citation share. The AI ecosystem has already moved on to a fresher source.
So you have to be proactive. The planner has to schedule refresh cycles explicitly.
You cannot rely on traffic drops as your trigger. You need content-based triggers.
What does a content-based trigger look like?
If your page includes time-sensitive claims or screenshots of software platforms that change their UI frequently, or you reference third-party tools.
You mark a specific date on the calendar to check those exact elements.
Yes. If the AI sees a screenshot from an old version of a software interface, it lowers its confidence in your page.
Wow. Okay, so we have access, structure, evidence, and recency. The four pillars. I want to transition to the operational side of this.
The workflow.
Yeah. Because if I'm a marketing manager listening to this, I understand the theory, but how do I actually organize this week to week without burning out my team?
You have to adopt the loop concept. A working AI SEO strategy is a continuous loop. It is not a one-time project.
Okay, what are the stages of the loop?
Monitor, score, draft, and refresh.
Walk me through a realistic weekly cadence. Let's say I have a small team, limited resources. What am I doing on Monday?
On Monday, you review your topic inputs and your monitoring feeds. You are just deciding what is actually worth your attention.
Filtering out the noise.
Yeah, exactly. Then midweek, maybe Tuesday or Wednesday, you draft. But you only draft one or two pieces.
Just one or two. That feels really low for traditional content marketing.
It is low, but you are writing them with that answer first structure, and you are validating your evidence slots.
Yeah.
The quality standard is much higher.
Okay, so what happens on Friday?
Friday is the most critical day. Friday is for refreshing one existing money page.
A money page being a high converting page that is close to being a citation source.
Yes. You take a page that already has some traction and you update the recency, you check the evidence, you tighten the first paragraph.
There's a real trade-off here for the listener. You are publishing fewer brand new URLs.
You are.
But every single URL you do publish or maintain has a exponentially higher chance of being reused by an AI.
And that is what actually drives business in 2026.
It takes a lot of operational discipline, though. You can't just wing this.
You really can't. Without a system to monitor sources and deduplicate news, your planner just becomes a chaotic mess of random suggestions.
Which is exactly why ContentShip exists, right?
Exactly. This operational complexity is why we built it. It serves as a governed content operating system.
Because doing this manually in a spreadsheet is almost impossible now.
You need feed monitoring, smart deduplication, AI-driven scoring, and persona management just to keep the loop running efficiently.
It takes the manual labor out of the monitoring phase so you can actually focus on the drafting and refreshing.
Precisely.
Let's take a quick pause here. If you are finding this breakdown of the AI search landscape useful, consider subscribing or sharing this deep dive with a colleague who is still planning content like it's 2024, because this shift is already here.
It really is.
Okay, so let's talk about measurement. We're moving beyond traffic.
This is the hardest conversation marketers have with their leadership right now.
Because if we aren't optimizing for clicks, how do we justify our budget to the boss? The boss wants to see a chart going up and to the right.
Traffic absolutely still matters. It just isn't the only proxy for success anymore. You need practical and defensible internal reporting metrics.
Defensible is the key word there. What are the new metrics we should be looking at?
The first one is citation presence. Are you actually cited on your priority queries?
And you can track that weekly, right? Even if you have to do it manually.
Yes, just type your top 20 buyer questions into the major AI interfaces and see if your brand shows up. It is a binary yes or no.
Okay, metric number two.
Topic coverage depth. Do you have the few highly specific pages that reliably answer buyer questions?
So moving away from generic broad topics to very specific deep answers.
Exactly. Metric number three is update cadence. This is an operational metric.
Can you say exactly when your most important pages were last refreshed?
If the answer is no, or if it was 8 months ago, you are failing the recency test.
And what is the fourth metric?
Leading indicators, specifically brand search trends and direct traffic.
Ah, because if people see you cited in an AI answer, they might not click right then, but they remember your name.
Exactly. Later, they open a new tab and search for your company directly. That is the dark funnel at work.
You have to be honest about the attribution reality here, don't you?
You do. You cannot always prove that a single AI citation caused a single specific conversion. The technology doesn't pass the referral data that cleanly yet.
So you are measuring directional impact.
Yes, you are looking at the correlation between your citation presence and your overall pipeline health.
Okay, I want to get very practical for the listener now. Let's visualize the actual document. You mentioned a one-page marketing planner template.
Yes, the template is the mechanism that forces this whole strategy to work.
What are the actual fields, the columns on this planner?
Well, you have your standard things, topic or page, and primary query. That keeps the planning tied to real assets and real user questions.
And target persona and intent.
Right, which reduces the chance of writing generic mass appeal fluff. But the magic is in the new key fields.
Let's break those down. The first one is evidence slots.
Yes. Before you write a single word, you have to define 2 to 3 stats or benchmarks in the planner.
You do this before you even outline the draft.
If you can't find the evidence to put in those slots, you don't approve the topic. It's a kill switch for bad ideas.
That is incredibly strict, but I see why it's necessary. What's the next key field?
The answer first summary.
This is the extraction piece we talked about.
Yes. You write a 40 to 60 word summary of the core answer right there in the planner. It forces the writer to know exactly what the standalone point is before they start adding the narrative.
It's like writing the elevator pitch for the AI crawler.
Exactly. And the final key field is the update trigger.
A specific date or event that forces a refresh.
You never just put publish date anymore. You put publish date and update trigger date.
And you just mentioned technical checks as well.
Yes. A simple checklist column. Is it crawlable? Is it the canonical version? Is the metadata clean?
Just to remind everyone listening, you don't have to build this spreadsheet from scratch. You can download this exact one-page marketing planner template at contentship.io right now.
It will save you a lot of formatting headaches.
Let's talk about implementation, because change is hard. If I am listening to this on a Tuesday, what do I do right now without rebuilding my entire marketing department?
We call this the quick wins plan. Step one, pick just two existing pages on your site, pages tied to revenue or product.
Not the blog post about the company retreat.
No, high value pages. Step two, add two pieces of sourced evidence to each of those pages today.
Just drop in a relevant statistic with a link to a credible source.
Step three, rewrite the first paragraph under your main headings on those pages to answer the question directly.
Apply the answer first rule. Cut the fluff.
Step four, run five real user questions through AI platforms right now to see what currently gets cited in your industry.
See who your actual competitors are in the AI space, because it might not be the same people you compete with on classic Google search.
It rarely is.
Yeah.
And step five, schedule one refresh for next Friday. Put it on your calendar right now.
That is incredibly actionable. Pick two pages, add evidence, rewrite the intro, check five queries, schedule one refresh.
You can do it in 2 hours.
Okay, to wrap this up, what are the common failure modes? What traps do people fall into when they try to adopt this?
There are three main traps. The first is chasing trends.
Trying to newsjack everything.
Right. Publishing news with no shelf life is a massive distraction. You want to build reference material, not a daily newspaper.
What's the second trap?
Structure without substance.
Meaning you use the right question headings, but the text underneath is still fluffy.
Exactly. You ask, what is X? And your answer is, X is a very important part of business. The AI will skip you immediately.
Because you failed the evidence pillar.
Right. And the third trap is ignoring the technical gates.
The robots.txt issue?
Having world-class, answer-first, evidence-backed content sitting on a blocked or incredibly slow page, it renders you completely invisible.
And I guess the ultimate failure mode is just publishing and forgetting.
Publish and forget is the riskiest strategy you can have in 2026.
So, summarizing this whole journey today, we are really talking about a fundamental shift from ranking to citing.
That is the core of it.
Moving from optimizing for volume and traffic to optimizing for utility, structure, and extraction.
You are building a system for earning citations.
Because if your planner is still just a publish once calendar, you are slowly falling behind the curve.
You are. In 2026, the marketing teams that win are the ones that treat recency and evidence as their primary product features. It's not just about what you say. It's about how verifiable and current it is.
That is a perfect reflective thought to close on. Recency and evidence as product features. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. To see how to scale this kind of visibility and turn citations into predictable revenue, visit www.contentship.io or subscribe for future episodes. We'll see you in the next one.